I appreciate your confidence in me. I wish I had that much. Thank each of you for being here. I tell you, I need your prayers. I guess that's kind of a common thing for a preacher to get up and say, pray for me, I need your prayers, but never more true than when your mind gets like mine. So, but I was going to mention something to you there a while ago, and I already forgot what it was. So that's a sad truth. But appreciate each of you for being here, and I appreciate Brother Isaac having the confidence in me, letting me do this, or asking me to do this. But it's getting kind of bad. So, but we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures, one from the Old Testament, and one from the Old Testament. one from the Old Testament, and obviously one from the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 5. But was something I want to share with you, and I can't remember what it was. But that's not a joke. I got tickled a while ago when we started that first song. I don't know what it's odd that the memories that do come back when your mind gets like this. You know, you can't remember things 2 minutes ago, actually. And I can turn around and forget what I was doing. But I can remember little old things years ago. That first song we sang tonight, where the part says that says a worm such as I. What's that song? I forget which. What? You know the script. You know what I'm talking about. The verse that says that. Yeah. But I guess it was. I guess I was still in seminary, but I had moved up. Janice and the kids had moved up from Louisiana, where seminary was, up into South Arkansas. We did that because of a Christian school, a long story. But anyway, to get to the point, we got up there. A friend I went to seminary with, that was his home church, and it was a tremendous church. It was good, and that was or turned out to be my ordaining church. But after we got there, they had gotten new songbooks. They were kind of the fancier, nicer ones. And so we're singing along in that song, and when we got to that song, the newer songbooks, I guess they didn't like worms. They changed that word worm to sinner, I think, to a sinner such as I. Well, we're singing. I guess Janice and I were the only two worms in the building. Right, okay. All right. Strangely, I don't know why I didn't even make this connection while I was working on this sermon. The cure for the incurable is what I want to speak to you about tonight. But it is a disease that we're going to look at here, but obviously the incurable disease ultimately we would think about would be sin, and there is a type here, if you will. But in the book of Matthew, I told you where to turn, and I didn't turn there. How about that? Book of Matthew, chapter 8, I said, I think. This is one of my favorite stories. Pardon? Matthew chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 5. I think I messed it the other way around. Matthew chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 5. It's really, I guess you'd call it a Sunday school story, basically. The kids even sang a song about this guy. But it's one of my favorite stories, and we're going to look at this. And the title I put it on here, The Cure for the Incurable, we'll get to the point of that in a moment. But in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, I guess you would, the Hebrew pronounces this prophet, or this man's name is Naam. I think we sing it Naaman, don't we? Naaman. Okay, Arab. So we know we're talking about. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1-4 says, when he was come down from the mountain, of course speaking about Jesus, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And in the 2 Kings chapter 5, a little bit longer reading here, and this is basically the story, and I know it's familiar to everybody, but in 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy, or we'd say heal him, but recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, we keep in mind, leprosy was incurable.
Amen.
Okay. It says, so that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read that letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Why did you tear your clothes up, buddy? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love it. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And are not Abana, however you want to pronounce it, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of Israel, and he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice other unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now, I love this story, and as I said, it kind of sounded like a Sunday school story, I guess, if you will. But what I love about it is, and this is just my opinion, I think we have right here just about the best example of faith there is in the Bible. This little Hebrew maid, she had never seen anybody healed of leprosy. And yet when she heard of Naaman and his problem, she had no problem saying, if he could get to my Lord, he can get healed. And that's the kind of faith that we need to share with those round about us, the one that can heal us. You know, there's a lot of sin-sick people out there that think that they're beyond help. We need the faith of this little old gal right here to tell them that they're not beyond help. There's one that can heal all of their sins, forgive all of their sins. So again, the facts of this malady, this, verse 1 and chapter, he was a leper. Now this was, as I said, incurable except by the power of God. Therefore it wasn't treated by the physicians, but inspected by a priest. Now, he was accepted in the land where he was, Syria, but excluded in Israel, we understand, because of the cry of unclean, unclean. Now, I don't know that much about the actual, I've studied some of it, but the actual disease and all that, and we understand today that people are cured of it and things, but the difference in Israel, for whatever, it wasn't just the disease itself, it was also, if you will, a type or a representation of sin. And that's henceforth the idea of unclean, unclean. It was a physical disease picturing and representative of our sin-sick condition, the disease. And so, as I say, this man, he was accepted. He was the captain of the king's guard there. But in Israel, he would be shunned and run off to the side, put off to the side and stoned if he got it in the public or something like that. But the type, I think, is the idea in Israel. Now, a man was not a leper because of the sores he had on his body, but because of the disease that was within. Now, I say that because we're talking about a type. And I would say that just as a man is not a sinner because he sins because he's a sinner. Does that make sense? That's not double talk. We sin because we are sinful human beings. We have a sin nature. And so a condition that makes one miserable regardless of circumstances. That's true. That was true of this man's physical condition. And I'm going to tell you, once we become aware of our sinfulness, it'll make us miserable in our spiritual condition too. So just the facts of this malady, he was a leper. The faith of the maid, look at verses 2 through 5. It says, and I'm in First Kings chapter 6. Chapter 5. That might make more sense. Y'all be sure and tell Brother Isaac how bad a job I do. Okay. The faith of the maid. Now, it's amazing faith. Man, verse 1 of chapter 5 in Second Kings, it talks about his condition, him being a leper. But it says, in verse 2, it says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And so this is let me see if I'm even following my own outline. the faith of the maid, as I said, it was an active faith. Verse 3 of what we were looking at there in 2 Kings, it says, and she said unto her mistress, would God, or we might say wish to God, but would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. That's the kind of faith that she had. And then the accepted faith, if you will, in verse 4 and 5, and it says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, y'all going to get tired of hearing my excuses, but not only did my brain not work, my eyes don't work right. Some of y'all have that problem, I can tell. But me and the lady was trying to get my glasses adjusted. We never did get together. I want it here. We got it here. So bear with some more of my excuses here. So it says, and this maid, verse 3, she said unto mistress, would God my Lord was with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So her faith was accepted on, I guess, out of hope. They had never seen anybody cleansed of leprosy either, but they accepted what she said here enough to act upon it. And that's the faith that this maid, this young lady had. The fear then of the monarch we see in verse 6 and 7. It says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He's thinking, this guy he's asking the impossible. He's just trying to pick a fight, a war, a battle. On top of all the other problems I've got. You know, I don't get to come up here to complain, but am I glad we're back here? Yes, I am. I got to tell you, I'm glad we're back home. But I'm going to tell you, when we started talking about moving back home, I had forgotten. Now, we've been Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, all these different places, different other places. I can't even remember all in my ministry. I had forgotten something. This is the worst place in the country for allergies. And if any of you got them, you know what I'm talking about. And so, but that's, you know, that's the Lord where he wanted me. So I apologize for dragging out the handkerchief. But this man, but why did the maid have faith and the monarch have fear? Because she was looking to God and he was looking at himself. Yeah, he was the all-powerful one and she was looking to the all-powerful one. And so then the faithfulness of the messenger, verses 8 through 10, the man of God in verse 8, the first part of it says, and it was so, anyway, if we go on, and I've already read for that, but they brought the letter, and it said, the king of Israel, verse 7, the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes, said to my God, and it said, recover a man of his leprosy, for wherefore I pray you, wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou, or why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Isn't it a strange thing? I've always been bad about going off on tangents when I preach. The problem, and used to, I could find my way back, and that's a problem with now. So y'all may have to say, get back where you... But it is an amazing thing. We talk about the faith of a child. It's a wonderful thing. It is. That's what we need, the faith of the child. It's when we get up and we think we know everything and all of the, that our faith seems to, we reason things out. Now this is the king, that's what he's reasoning here. Nobody's ever been healed from leprosy. I can't heal this guy. I can't get him healed. Therefore, he's trying to pick a war with me. I'm in trouble. I, of course, is what he's thinking here. And then in verse 8, and it was so... Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. I guess the king, you know, he didn't know him. All he could do is just follow what was being said here. So he sent Naaman to the prophet. And in verse 10, his message to Naaman in verse 10, all of this wealth and power that the king and the messenger and all this had, but what they needed was the truth, and that's what they're about ready to hear. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt not be clean. I mean, he just told him. He didn't even go out to see him. He just sent the word. That's all you need is the word, the right word, and that's the word he got. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall be clean. As a sinner, Naaman needed the truth. That's what every one of us needed before we were saved, and we still need it. That's why we need this. Not my preaching, but good preaching like we get week in and week out. We need this book, and we need to go through it again and again and again, read it, have it preached to us and taught to us. We can't get enough of it because this is the best medicine there is. Amen. This is what the world needs. This sin-sick world needs the truth of the Word of God, and we need to do our part as much as we can, like this little old maid. I guess I said this a while ago, but I want to reiterate this point. Keep in mind, the Bible tells us that no one, it's already told us that no one in Israel had ever been healed from leprosy. And this little old gal says, go to see the man of God. He'll heal her. That's the kind of faith that we need. Amen. He needed the truth. His message to the message of the king of Israel, verse 8, fear not. His message to Naaman in verse 10, truth, not tribute, if you will. He didn't compromise. He said, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And as I said, that's what he needed. He needed the truth, as we all do. Elisha gave it to him. Isn't that what we should be about? Giving this old sin-sick world the truth of God's word. And then we see the folly of the man in verse 11 and 12. It says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. It's too simple. He needed I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent here, but a lot of what's done in the name of religion in our day and time is more show than anything else. And that's what this guy was looking for. And that's, to a great extent, that's what the world looks for in religion. And it's, religion's what, not what does it to it. It's Christianity. It's the Word of God. But anyway, so, you know, it was too simple. What can be more simple than John 3:16? For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not. For God so loveth the, I can't quote John 3:16. For God so loveth the world. Somebody help me. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Was that all of it? I'm telling you it's getting bad. You know, it's a strange thing, I noticed it more so in Sunday school class with Brother Steve, and I enjoy our Sunday school classes so much. But I guess because Brother Steve's kind of like me, he goes here and he goes there. I'm not picking on you. I like it, but he mentioned Scripture. I can remember most of the time what the Scripture says. My old brain still remembers, but I can't remember where it is. Sometimes I can't tell you the book, and certainly not the chapter and the verse. But most of the time, as he's teaching, and even Brother Isaac is preaching, Scriptures will come to my mind, but I don't even know where they are. And that's a sad thing to me. I'm sorry. I'm not up here to complain. I guess I am, but I guess I'm doing it. Expecting some big show, which too much religion is what it's about in this day and time. He was just simply complaining. He rejected the simple. For whosoever shall not call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's about as simple, and that is as simple and as sublime as you can get right there. The wondrous works, yeah, he was looking for that. But the gift of grace, just the gift that was could be his, no, I guess that wasn't. I think even in our world today, as we go out and try to talk to people and witness to them, I think we run onto this sometime. I know I have. There's very few people that have a doubt of the ability of Christ to save, or you know, to save a sinner. I think what I've noticed many times is not so much that they're afraid of his ability, but of the willingness. How many times you witnessed somebody say, "Well, I'm too bad a sinner." I've heard that so many times. Well, you don't know what I've done. I've heard it, and I'm sure you have too. Not only is he able, he is willing, and that's part we need to give that message. He is ready, willing, and able, and that's what we have here. This man, I think it was the idea here. You know, in Matthew chapter 8 there, that leper, what was his statement? Lord, if thou wilt. Well, we don't have to ask that question of the Lord, if you wilt. He will. Absolutely. And that's what he will. He will save to the uttermost. Jesus' promise was what? John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He didn't make any qualifications on that, did he? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The thing we have to do is just get someone to come to him. That's what we had to do, come to him. And his promise is he will not cast them out. And then the finish of the matter in verses 13 through 17, back in 2 Kings chapter 5, if I've lost you, we have an acceptance of God's word. Verses 13, first part of verse 14. Verse 13, it says, "And his servants came and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And how much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down into the river and dipped himself seven times in Jordan." His acceptance of the word. Thanks to a sensible servant, would you say so? May we be sensible servants of the Lord. We should be as persuasive ourselves. An acceptance of God's word, and then an accomplishment of God's will. The last part of verse 14 there says, "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little maid, and he was clean." Accomplishment of God's will through simple obedience to God's word. You want God to do something? You must be obedient to his word. God's never made a promise he wouldn't keep. And then we said acknowledgement of God's way in verse 15. "And he returned to the man of God, and he said, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." An acknowledgement of God's way. Of God's. And an ambition for God's work, verse 17. "And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant..." Am I still... "And Naaman said, Shall there not then be I pray thee, be given to thy servants two mules burdens of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto thee, but unto the Lord." To finish this up, in its simplest form, this is the story of a man with an incurable condition, who through faith and obedience in God's word became happy and whole. Isn't that the story of every one of us? And that can be the story of everyone that we can have the opportunity if they will simply accept the truth of God's word. I think, as I said, the thing here that is so amazing to me is the faith of this. I think this is the greatest example of faith I know of in the Bible, just to be honest. This little, no one had ever been healed from leprosy. And this little servant speaks up and says, "Well, If he just be, see, God's man, God could, you know," but she's saying that God could do it. And that's the kind of faith, and that's what we need to do, is to tell people. Sin is an incurable condition by anything that man can do. Nothing that we can do, no good works, not joining any church or anything else, but we have and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just need to be as bold, I suppose, and have as much faith as this little maid. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew her name? But no, I suppose she can represent so many. It could be the story of any of us. If you can't do it, let God do it. There's so many things in this world we can't do. We need to let God do it. I think that oftentimes, and without getting off on too much of a tangent here, but I have gotten involved and been at meetings and things with, I suppose you might call it hyper evangelism and some other things. And I hesitate to say that because evangelism is good news. You can't be too hyper about that. I mean, what I'm talking about is there are groups that have all kinds of gimmicks and this and that and all these things to go about it. All we can do is tell them about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and that faith. That's what it takes. We need to have the faith to share it and be able to share that kind of faith with others as we can. Let's stand together, please, and I appreciate you. Thank you for listening, your patience. Let's have our musicians come, please. Father, I do thank you for this time, and I thank you for those who are patient to listen, but above all for your word. I thank you for the power of it and the truth of it, and dear Lord, even that as presented by me tonight, it's still powerful, dear Father. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to take this example of faith that we might live accordingly, act accordingly, and share even as we're able to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 524.